Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts for our good, because you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text is from chapter 11 of Luke, the last three verses. It reads this way from the NIV. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The heading in the NIV for this chapter is Jesus teaching on prayer, and that's basically what I'm going to get at, but I'm not going to go directly into prayer. I'm going to get at something that gives us an answer to why Jesus can say, ask and it will be given. Jesus does say, be persistent in prayer. He's saying that. You get answers. God will answer you if you are persistent. But especially when you ask for faith-related things, and especially, as he says at the end, for those who ask for the Holy Spirit to be given to them, God will give it. Now, I'm not summarizing anything here. It's just where I'm going. What we're going to look at here is I'm looking at a different way to approach this as why does God answer prayer? What's the reason he answers prayer? Let's start this way. Off and on over the years, I've worked with high school students in various capacities, and the number one thing I've noticed about them, whether they're guys or girls, in the hallway, when they have quiet conversations, they're usually talking about someone of the opposite sex that's appealing to them. If you're a guy and you find out that a particular girl you like is interested in you, why, you stumble all over yourself. And wow, that's the most interesting thing. And you may do something really stupid to mess up the budding romance. About 40 years ago, a singer-songwriter named Jim Stafford wrote a song called Spiders and Snakes. Some of you might remember that. And he sang this. I remember when Mary Lou said, you want to walk me home from school? And I said, yes, I do. This is something big for him. So he walks Mary Lou home. On the way, they stop at the swimming hole. And he continues, I got silly and found a frog in the water by a hollow log. And I shook it at her and said, this frog's for you. Wait a minute, how many girls are going to like that? Heather, would you like Tony to have done that? No. And Mary Lou responds, you fool, you fool. I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me. Isn't that exactly what God is saying, or Jesus is saying here? God isn't going to do that to us. He's not going to give us spiders and snakes and scorpions and frogs. He's got something better for us. But why, when we pray, why does God answer the way he does? Well, we're God's children by baptism. And even though we don't expect to receive actual spiders and snakes and scorpions, or spiritual spiders and snakes and scorpions from God, he does insist on answering us. He does insist on giving us good things. You know, Jesus used that scorpion and that snake, probably both poisonous, as examples of nasty things that he doesn't want any of us to have. And he says, for sure, God isn't going to do that to you. But it did happen to me once. I was about 4 years old. My dad was the custodian at historic Trinity Lutheran Church in downtown Milwaukee. Last year it burned. It's pretty well destroyed. It's going to cost $24 million to replace it. Pretty expensive. Anyway, he was the custodian there. So we're living down there. We're living on this church property. There's a little house, and there's a school at the end of the parking lot. And I and some of the neighborhood kids who were about my age, we were the gang of the parking lot. We controlled the parking lot. We leave our wagons and our bikes and so on in the driveway so people couldn't get in and out. We controlled that place. Anyway, people would get upset about that. That's one of the things that happened. Now, that house was on the parking lot, like I said, and down the block was the headquarters of the Milwaukee Police Department, District 1, where the chief works, And across the street from the church is Pabst Brewery, or was Pabst Brewery. And that's where we lived. And one day I saw the head of our gang, the preschool kindergarten gang. He was a kindergartner, he's the big kid. And he was drinking something in a dark bottle. And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "Coke." And I said, "Can I have some? I'd never had any before." And he said, "No, go get your own," or something to that effect. So I ran home, and I climbed the stairs into the house, and I asked my mom, "Can I have a Coke? Can I have a soda? Can I have one?" And she says, "We don't have any. Here, have a soda cracker." Now, soda cracker is a saltine. And as far as I'm concerned, they're only good for one thing, and that's breaking up and putting in tomato soup. But, you know, I was devastated. She didn't give me what I asked for. I wanted something that was good. I was going to go to kindergarten and not have experienced anything in life. Well, that all changed, obviously. But when Jesus talks about this, he's making the point that unbelievers generally know how to give good things to their children, at least generally know how. Specifically, they may not do that. But if that's true, if we ask our Heavenly Father for something, especially something of faith, isn't he more likely to give that than an unbelieving parent will give something good to their child? And that's what he's getting at. We just sang a couple of hymns that talk about us being the children of the Heavenly Father in one form or another. And he's there to give us things. He's there to take care of us. But why does God the Father really want to do that? Because after all, we were enemies in sin. We were enemies of God. That's what St. Paul tells us. Well, the surface answer is that he loves us. He loves us as his creation. He loves us as his creatures. But he loves us more because we are his children, again, in baptism, because of what Christ has done for us. So that means for something. That means something for us. And I'm going to consider this for the next few minutes in light of the Good Samaritan, which you heard 2 weeks ago. Now, you know the Good Samaritan parable. The lawyer comes to Jesus and asks, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus tells the parable of the injured Jewish man and the Samaritan. And the Jewish man and the Samaritan were enemies, and yet the Samaritan takes care of the Jewish man. Pastor Hemingway used this a few weeks ago, I think, and he talked about loving other people. And that's what it gets at, loving other people. But there's another way to look at this, something a little bit more specific, I think, which gives us the reason God would give us good stuff, especially the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, if we ask for it. So in school, when we ask the kids, and we talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we ask the kids, "Who is our neighbor?" they generally ask, "Why, everybody," and that's not wrong. Everybody is our neighbor in one way or another, though we're more likely to know our neighbors next door and think, "Oh, they're the closest neighbors we have," but guess what? Who is your closest neighbor? You're going to think about the person next door, or you might think about the person sitting behind you, or you looked at her. Is she your closest neighbor? Why? She's your wife. Yes, exactly. She's your wife, and he's your closest neighbor because he's your husband. As a husband, your wife is your closest neighbor. As a wife, your husband's your closest neighbor. As, let's say, a teacher, your students are your closest neighbors when you're in the classroom with them. As a coach, your team is your closest neighbors when you're with them. But these people out here are also all your closest neighbors in Christ. They're your neighbors. And that's how God looks at us. God looks at us as his closest neighbors, and as closest neighbors, he wants to be hospitable to us. He wants to treat us well and give us good things, especially the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps us grow in faith. The Holy Spirit strengthens our faith. That's what he wants for us. The Holy Spirit leads us to want to know more about Christ and what God has done. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God wants to give us that because we are his closest neighbors. Yes, we're his children in baptism, but that means we're his closest neighbors. You've got a little child there, a little girl. that little girl. As a mother, that's your nearest neighbor. As a child, nearest neighbors. They cross over. They're all kinds of people. You know, another thing Jesus said is, love your enemy. Can an enemy be a nearest neighbor? Well, we know from the Good Samaritan that can happen. But here's a story from World War II. It's the Battle of the Bulge. And if you know anything about World War II, the Germans attacked the Americans and the British tried to push them back as a last-ditch effort. And they were actually being somewhat successful. And then the skies cleared, the weather cleared, and American air power took over because German air force was pretty well decimated. And we started to push the Germans back. And they were retreating. Well, at one point in that retreat, some of the Germans attacked a unit of Americans, and there was a machine gunner there whose job was to protect his unit mates. Okay, he was to protect them with the machine gun. And one of the German soldiers in the retreat that followed turned around and threw a grenade at the machine gunner. The grenade exploded. He was wounded, but he still kept firing and wounded the guy who threw the grenade. Now, we're in a war. The Americans are on one side. The Germans are on the other side. They're both enemies of each other. They want to kill each other. And so what happens is the American, after he hits the German, who's rolling around, I guess, he picks up his carbine, walks down the hill. He's going to finish him off, he thinks. But as he walks down the hill, he thinks, I can't do that. That would be murder. I'm a Christian. I can't do that. And he gets down at the bottom of the hill and says, the German says in English, help. And the American says, I can't shoot you. I'm a Christian. And the German comes back with, I'm a Christian too. These enemies all of a sudden became neighbors, nearest neighbors. They were there to help one another. And help they did. They both got up, helped each other, walked to an American aid station. And they were both fixed up. The German was sent to a prisoner of war camp. The American apparently was sent home. And I don't know what happened to them after that, but it's an instance of loving your neighbor who was an enemy. Imagine that. Something very unusual. Jesus promises to give his Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. He promises that. And why? So that our faith may be firmly established, as Paul wrote and we read in Colossians last week. It's all about establishing our faith in Christ. That's why he says God the Father will give us his Holy Spirit. You know, God doesn't give us poisonous things as gifts. He gives us what's good for us. He gives us that for the purpose of helping us grow in faith, staying strong in the faith. So when that the scorpions and snakes and spiders of life come along, we're there in faith. And we're there for one another. We're there to encourage one another, as Hebrews says. Our job is to encourage one another to remain strong in the faith. If you saw Toy Story 4, some of you might have, in Toy Story 4, Woody, who's the main character, he's the cowboy character that Tom Hanks voices for, and he's been in all the Toy Story movies, and Woody has been the number one character. But in the fourth movie, he now has a new owner. And Woody is no longer the favorite toy. Woody thinks he's being left out, sort of, but he helps the new favorite toy learn how to be the favorite toy. Woody's been doing this all along, helping the toys learn how to get along with their owner, get along with one another. And now he helps that other toy learn how to be the favorite toy. But somewhere along the way, Woody gets upset about this. He becomes morose. And he decides enough is enough, and he starts thinking about himself, and he says, I got to think about myself only. I'm not going to consider these other toys anymore. And Woody goes off, more or less into the sunset, following his own desires. You know, God asks us not to follow our own desires. He asks us to consider others. Yes, we're supposed to, if we love our neighbor, we need to love ourselves. We can't love our neighbor without loving ourselves. But we are asked to consider others, think about them, especially those who are our nearest neighbors, just as God sees us as his nearest neighbors and wants us to grow in faith and wants to give us the good things of faith. That's what God wants to do for us. You know, Jesus didn't say we only deserve spiders and snakes. Jesus said, I want to give you the Holy Spirit so that you can grow in faith in me and encourage one another. That's what he's all about. That's why God wants to answer prayers. So as Jesus told the lawyer, after giving the example of the Good Samaritan, he told him, go and do likewise. So may we, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, do the same. Go and do likewise for others. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.